I'm Lauren.
And I'm Cheryl.
And on this episode of Lit Chicks Read, we're chatting Crown of Midnight by Sarah J. Maas. Are you ready? You are like giddy on the other side of this.
I'm smiling so big. I'm smiling so big that my eyes are shut. You know that kind of smile.
Yeah. I wish you guys could see Cheryl. She's just like, it's like we get to chat.
Because let's start with the big reveal at the end of this book. I'm so excited to finally be able to say Aelin.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That's
it's
like
really
okay,
cool
so
let, how it ended too. I know. So you slipped up
it's
in
like,
one of the earlier podcasts and we had to
I did.
Out.
Yes, we did. I was like,
we had to cut it out. Now you can say it and not be worried that you're spoiling it, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm gonna read this one little bit from it's the very last page of this book. And we'll start at the end because it's so good. So it's when Kale is figuring out that Selena is Aelin, because as she left at the very end of the book, she's sailing off to Wendlin, where she's supposed to assassinate the royal family. But it's also he sent there, or it was his plan to send her there so that she would be safe, because now he knows that she is Fae.
Yes.
And Wendlin is a lot closer to Dornell, which is where the remaining Fae live. Okay. So as this, she whispers to him as she's leaving a date, and it takes him a little while. He figures out that that's the date that the royal family of Terrasen was killed. And this is how he figures out that she is actually Aelin. So Selena Sardothian wasn't in league with Aelin Ashriver Galathinius. Selena Sardothian was Aelin Ashriver Galathinius, heir to the throne and rightful queen of Terrasen. Selena was Aelin Galathinius, the greatest living threat to Adarlan, the one person who could raise an army capable of standing against the king. Now, she was also the one person who knew the secret source of the king's power and who sought a way to destroy it. And he had just sent her into the arms of her strongest potential allies, to the homeland of her mother, the kingdom of her cousin, and the domain of her aunt, Queen Maeve of the Fae. Selena was the lost queen of Terrasen. Kale sank to his knees.
Do you think it was like an oh shit moment?
I 100% think it was an oh shit moment for him.
Like, yes. What did I just do?
Yeah, because he's like, I just sent her into the arms of her greatest allies against my king.
Yes, but do you think, well, see, it's hard because I know you've read the series, but also like—
I know.
Yeah, but like, so from my standpoint, right? Like, I don't know what happens yet. So is it, he sank to his knees because he's like, fuck, like, what did I just do? Or did he sink to his knees because he's like, oh my gosh, she's the lost queen. Like, because he loves her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it?
I think he is. You know? Yes, exactly. I think that he is not sure yet. Because throughout this whole book, we've been watching him struggle. Kale has been struggling, right? We've talked before about his blind loyalty to the king. And in this book, he gets more and more hints, and we get little moments where he's like sort of seeing through the illusion. And there's one point where he even says, like, have I just been a puppet?
Yes.
He recognizes there's more, and he's intentionally recognizing that his king is dangerous to Aelin specifically. Mm-hmm. And that's why he chooses this plan of like getting her far away from his king, right? Not knowing what Aelin/Selena does, that the king has already said that if ever she like betrays him, he's going to go kill Kale and Nehemia's family. So,
right. Kale doesn't know that.
He does not know that.
Right.
So Aelin's like,
Aelin.
Yeah.
Yes.
We will probably use her name interchangeable in this.
It's going to be hard for me. I'll probably still call her Selena, but
that's fine. Cause she is Selena through this whole entire book.
Okay.
And I guess to be fair, we could say, you know, this is Kale's figuring it out on the very last page. I guess the first time I read this, I could have been like, oh, but is he right? We're just going to skip that drama. He's right.
If your mind went there, don't.
There has been enough clues in the last all three books. So I think
I also liked how it was like he like the color of her eyes, like all yes. like the way he put everything together. And he's like, wait, I know uh-huh. those eyes. Like,
yeah, wait, the Ash River that, eyes.
Right. And she said, you know, something about a dangerous name and all of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mm-hmm. and so, yeah, he's literally sitting there like, wait, what? What?
He's putting the puzzle together.
Yes. Yes.
Finally.
Finally. Yeah. But I do think he's, I'm interested to see what happens in the next book, because I do think he's, I felt bad for him a little bit this book.
Yeah. Let's start with Kale. I do feel sorry for him.
I do. I really think the two of them truly loved each other.
Love. Yeah, I think so too.
Still love. Yeah. I feel like they do still love each other. It's just that she, I think, probably has more experience shutting that out or turning, you know what I'm saying? Like having to push it away. Right. She's kind of had to do that with Sam. Whereas he's just like obsessive about it. Right. Like wondering what she's doing and still, but I also like, you got quite a little love triangle there. You got like several little pieces with Dorian and him basically like fighting it out in a way, you know?
Yeah, there definitely is that. Like they
one part where he is that this book? Is there one part where they actually do get physical or no? Is that here? Am I thinking of something different?
I think you're thinking of something.
I might be thinking of something different. But anyway. Yes. But like they're both very like jealous of the time.
They are. And so like when we left off in the end of Throne of Glass, she had told Dorian that she couldn't be with him because it was, you know, all these complications, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's for a good portion of this book.
Dorian or that. Kate? Or both.
Dorian. She had told Dorian, because remember, she was like making out with Dorian in the last book.
She
had become like King's Champion and told him they couldn't continue. But he had continues his feelings for her, Dorian does, throughout this whole book, right? Mm-hmm. And then, but he keeps trying to let her go, like actively, even we get that insight into his thoughts where he's like, I'm letting her go. I'm letting her go.
Yes.
And then with Kale, we have like the opposite, where he is like trying to deny his feelings because he knows that there's this line of their friendship and he doesn't want to go beyond it. Even towards the beginning of the book, we have his thoughts thinking staying firmly on this side of the line was the logical choice, the honorable one too, since Dorian, he'd seen the way Dorian still looked at her. He wouldn't betray his friend like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which lasts for a little bit longer.
Yeah. And then he does.
There's sort of a series of events that like bring them closer and closer together, like the time that she gets poisoned by Gloriella and she goes to who she feels safest with, which is Kale, and he can't even leave her that night. He realizes how like tied to her feelings wise he is. And then there's that time where they're like both on guard duty outside the ball and he asks her to dance.
Mm-hmm. I love
and she was like, what? At like Yulmas, you said like it was too dangerous for us to dance. And he just looks at her and says, things are different now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's his birthday is the big one, right? Like when she arranges that. It sounds so beautiful. I would love to see that birthday she arranges in the greenhouse with all the lights. It just sounds so lovely. And then that night he says like to her, you know, if you, because she still wants to leave eventually when she gains her freedom, she wants to leave Otterlin. And this is when he's starting to think through that, you know, the king isn't sort of everything that he thinks. That's the night they kiss and then more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And after that, they both like, once they're together, they're together. Yeah, like every single moment
in
the broom closets.
Yeah.
I like when she says to Nehemia, she's like, I didn't know what fun I was missing out on. Yeah. She's like, well, I could have told you that.
Yeah. 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 They were having some fun.
They were.
Yeah.
We weren't seeing a lot of it.
No.
It was still very pink heart, like fade to black.
It's short-lived, unfortunately.
Sadly.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a pretty big mistake he made.
Yes.
To, like,
and he even
put his loyalty above his relationship.
He even says like that one line where he was like, oh, I shouldn't. I don't think it'll do anything if I don't tell her, right? About what was it? Like the meeting, whatever.
There was like a threat to Nehemia's life. And then also the king wanted to question her.
Yeah. And he flat out like said, and as soon as I read that line, I go, oh, that's going to come back to bite you in the ass. Like, literally, it was like some foreshadowing. I was like, okay, that's not going to, something tells me that's not going to do you well. And sure,
totally.
you know, and
I mean, I remember the first time I read that, and it, like, even now when I read through that and the king telling him like that there was a threat against her life, I was like, oh, that's convenient. Like, it felt like the king was masterminding that. Mm-hmm. And it took us until the end to figure out that no, he wasn't, which actually made a lot more sense, because the king was like, said to Kael, you know, if she don't tell her, because if she is aware that there's a threat against her life, she might use it to like become a martyr. And Kael's like, I don't think she would. And like me at the time reading it for the first time, I'm like, well, then why? Because it feels like, you know, something bad happens to something good, it must be the king at fault.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I still thought there was a roundabout way that the king had arranged her death, but I was like, why would he do that? Because then he's creating the martyr in the same way that he said he didn't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. And so, but it takes till the end that we figure out that he actually didn't have any involvement in her death.
And it was that little snake archer. I told you, I had a bad feeling about him, like, just from the start. As soon as I met him, like, man, he just seems like slimy.
He's trying to distract us with his prettiness.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, clearly. But I feel bad because, again, like, Kael just, after that, it's she just like, I mean, that's when I was reading this book, I remember I said that, like, wow, shit just hit the fan. Nahemia's dead. And
you hit a certain point and it's just.
Selena just went like, you know, like literally lost.
I mean, like. Mind. Like blood rage.
Blood rage. Like, if you were in her way, you were going to be dead. Like, she just, which broke my heart, because just like the pain that she, you know, it was like her one true friend.
Yeah.
And it's just, anyway, but I felt bad for Kael, because it's like, had you just been, and granted, it wasn't, you know, we find out obviously it wasn't his fault, like, you know, but I just feel bad for him, because I do think that he genuinely loves her. And then after that, it's just like it says there was that one point where he literally like sobs, right?
Yes. And
I had just read it.
Yeah, it's like something else. It's when he sees the will that Selena had written, the will. Yeah, yes. That she left him everything before this all happened, right? And then he's suspecting her. He has an inkling that she isn't all that she says she is, because he sees her singing at Nehemia's grave in the middle of the night, remember? And it's like in a different language, and he looks into it, and the librarian tells him that like the nobles of Terrasen would sometimes sing like a dirge, like a death lament at a grave in the Fae language. Mm-hmm. So he's starting to put together that she might be part of like the nobility of Terrasen rather than just being from there.
Yeah.
And so he goes into her room and starts searching around, which is, you know, shitty.
Yeah.
And then finds that will. And then she comes in. And so she's like, you know, I'm not going to change it. I would have left you everything anyway. And it's after that that he realizes that he's made a mistake again. And that's when he breaks down for the first time since everything happened. And he just like a broom closet. Yeah. He locks himself in a broom closet to cry.
Yeah, that part just,
I feel bad for him. Because
I really did too.
He seems like he's trying to be a good man and do the right thing. And he really is a good man. Mm-hmm. But he has a couple big weaknesses. And one is his blind loyalty. And one is sort of the flip of that. Suspecting people too easily, right? So like he doesn't trust her when he has sort of like an inkling that she might be more than what he thinks, that she's not being completely honest with him.
So I just felt so bad at that one part, and just like, yeah, like it's, I'm at the page right here, it's page 322. He couldn't breathe. She hadn't just done it out of generosity, but rather because she knew that if he ever lost his position, he'd have to consider going back to, is it Aniel, to his father's money, and that it'd kill part of him to do that. But she'd have to be dead for him to see that money. Verifiably dead and not a traitor to the crown either. If she died a traitor, then all her assets had to go to the king. And the only way she'd die a traitor would be for her to do what he feared. Ally with the secret organization, find Aelin and return to Terrasen. But yeah, it just, I don't know, the whole part, right? He hadn't wept when Nehemia died, or when he'd throw Selena in the dungeons, or once you even return with Graveshead, but like just the fact that she says he barely made it into the empty broom closet before the sobs hit. Like it wasn't even just tears. It was sobs. Like I'm like,
yeah,
this poor man.
You know, when you see like a man break down,
that
it's like depending on their, you know, usual nature. But for him, I can just picture it. And him, he's very stoic, right? Like it takes a lot for him to let his feelings out. And so for him to break down like that, I can just imagine the state he was in.
Yeah.
And part of it is his doing, but part of it isn't. And so his story is not done. We're going to see more. I'm glad he had that piece of happiness with her.
I'm sure having that, I mean, you know, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure that changes him a bit. That's my...
Having loved her?
Yeah, having loved her and having experienced this, essentially this loss, right? I mean, it is a loss to him, right? So I just feel like anyone that would affect. So I'm sure...
Loved and lost,
Yes, I'm assuming that we will see the effects of that later, whether it's him still making stupid decisions or, you know what I mean? Like, we'll see, you know?
Yeah. So,
but I hope he gets a happy ending way down the road.
Yeah. I was like a little ticked at him when he did have to put her in the dungeon after she attacked him. And she would have probably, like we were saying, blood rage, she might have killed him if Dorian hadn't interfered.
Well, I think she even said that too to Dorian, right?
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, thank you for stopping me.
Done that with your magic, which we'll also get to, you know, I don't know what would have happened kind of thing. So,
yeah. Exactly. But then he was like, after he puts her in the dungeon that night, he doesn't even let her have a blanket or a cloak or anything. He's like, I don't trust anything in there with her. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you going to do with a blanket? Okay.
I don't know. She's
but she is pretty inventive, maybe. But but anyway, he like goes to sleep in his bed and he's like, oh, it smells like her. But also then he thinks about like what she's sleeping on. He goes, okay, so he goes and sleeps on his couch. I was like, dude, she's sleeping in like a cold, wet dungeon on dirty hay with no blanket. And oh, poor man, you're sleeping on your couch.
She's on your couch. She has like a bucket to relieve herself in and you're on your
couch. Yeah, exactly. Oh. So he did do a few things that ticked me off. He just got more complicated for me in this book.
Okay.
Because I liked a lot of things about him, but there's a few things that I didn't. And, you know, remember my green foreshadowing tabs. I have a few in there just knowing what is going to happen later. So we're going to wait for that and we'll talk about him more.
Okay.
Okay. Let's talk about Dorian's magic.
Yeah. I still really love his character a lot.
I love him so much.
I really do. So I hope he stays interesting and I still love him towards the end. I really do love him. I love his personality. I just love it. And I love that he just realizes, right? He said he hit the wall first and realized that he shouldn't have been able to.
Oh yeah. Like cracked and then broke the window. Yeah.
Yes.
But the biggest part of that was not that he had the strength to do it without breaking his hand, but also then there was almost like an invisible bubble around him where none of the broken glass fell.
Yes. So I love their kind of like ally, like they kind of like, you know, they're like allies here in a way, right? So like she realizes he has magic and he realizes she's trying to find something, right? Like, and they kind of lean on each other a little bit.
Yes. So it's like a sort of exploration as he's figuring it out, we're figuring it out, like what his powers are. But eventually Aelin says about his magic that he has the rarest and deadliest kind, sheer undiluted power, capable of being shaped into whatever form the wielder desired. And we do see that. So we see him trying to figure it out and he looks back in his family history and there has been magic in his family, but not for like centuries. Mm-hmm. We do know, you know, the first things he does, remember Nehemia, that ball, like traces a symbol on his chest. And then right after that, and she says to him, like, you know, you have more power than you realize. When the time comes, don't be afraid. I will help you. And then after she does something, which I can only assume is a word mark. Mm-hmm. After she traces a symbol on his chest, he feels something ancient and slumbering deep inside of him had opened an eye.
Yeah.
So we don't know like what she did there to like, you know what it reminds me of? Do you know that meme like, Holy Spirit, activate. Holy Spirit, activate.
yeah, she did something like that, right? Yeah.
It's like that. Yeah, she like triggered something. Yeah. And so it's after that he gets really angry about the slave mine, the Calicula mine. That's when he punches the wall. And then there's that time where he wakes up and he's like, it might even be about Selena. I can't remember exactly, but he wakes up and like his couch where he's been sleeping is all frosty all around him. Okay, there's other times where he's like, oh, I felt a sudden cold draft. And he's like, there must be, you know, a draft coming from somewhere. But really it's like it gets cold around him when he gets upset. He makes a bunch of books fly off the shelves. And then, but the big first one, like uncontrollable and instinctual, is when he stops Selena from killing Kale. Like basically holds her hand back where she's trying to like stab him in the heart.
Yes.
And then Selena finds out about his magic when she gets through that, like down to the library below the library.
Like the dungeons put down there. Yes.
Like catacombs. Yeah. And then he starts to like seal the door with magic. Yeah. And then they have to have a little talk. So he's like, wait a sec. So you were using these crazy symbols to open this thing and find this, like, get this creature out. And by the way, you have magic.
Yeah. They're like, have a little talk. Do you want to start or me? Like,
exactly.
That's what I mean. I love that they're both like, huh, okay. So, and it's not, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, they both want to understand and it's, like they're friendly about it, right? Like they want to help each other in a way. So
neither it's very much like there's a partnership there, and they both have secrets, but are okay with revealing them with each other, and neither of them wants to like manipulate or use that knowledge against the other.
Right. And if anything, protect the other. Yeah. Right.
Definitely.
Which I guess we'll get to the other lady about that. But I also thought I feel like Kale probably felt like the third wheel, like during at that end scene with the portal and all that stuff. And right. Like she said, what did she say to Dorian? She said something like, I can't do it, but you can, or something like that. Right.
To close the portal. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just like, well, what the hell? Like what's going on? Like, here?
What? I don't know about. He can do what? And how do you know that he can do that? But then it like that same thing, like third wheel flips when she like sends Dorian. She's like, I'll come up to your rooms later.
Yeah,
because she needs to talk to Kale about what he saw when she did step through the portal.
Yes.
That was my favorite thing, actually, that Kale did this whole book, is when that portal was opened and that creature took Fleetfoot.
I know. I was like, no.
Right?
Yeah.
And he like charged through after. Okay. That's that.
I will say that took some. Yes. I mean, he ran after the girl he loves, dog, you know, like, okay,
yeah, like he was standing there and fighting the monster. I was like, okay, you know, good. You're doing your job. But then when he like actually went through this portal to save the dog, I was like, okay, that was really nice.
And he did. If anything happens,
he did.
Okay.
I know, right?
Like, I don't want to know if anything does. Or maybe I do. but yes.
You're good for now. So dogs don't live forever, but good. But... so when she steps through that portal, we get that sudden change.
Yeah.
And learn that her actual form is Faye, which was a pretty good way to reveal it, I thought.
Yeah, really?
And Kale was just like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. What's going on here? But I think so. My question, and maybe I just need more of an explanation because I was also trying to like finish, you know, and I was getting my hair done while I was finishing it.
Yeah.
So where's the portal to? Do we know this yet?
We don't know specifically.
Okay.
We know that it looked like rocky and misty.
Okay. So we don't know where this portal at this point in time, we don't know where this portal opened up to that made her turn Fae.
No. We just know it was another world and that's why, because it's just their world or specifically a part of their world that doesn't have magic. So as soon as she went through the portal, she was no longer within that area, and therefore she had her powers and had her true form.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
And she has powerful magic, right? Like all of a sudden she's like starts blasting that guy.
She kept saying run because she didn't know how she was even going to. Well, I guess she did know, right? She knows she can't really, she doesn't have a good handle on it. It seems
that's right.
Right.
Yeah. Remember that she was the last, like when magic went out, she was 8. Right. And she talks about that even before that, she was having trouble controlling, like, so clearly they were, she, and by extension, you would think her mother, mm-hmm. are like hiding as humans. Like it said, her mother, I don't think her mother had a fae form, but that is where she got it from. And so she was saying that sometimes she would just have, like when it got out of control, she would change into that form and not be able to control it. And they were worried that the older she got, you know, it would be hard to hide. So, but I liked that. I felt like there was little hints. And the more you get into this series and you learn, we will learn more about the Fae in the next book, how they are and where they are and aren't similar to the Fae that we know from ACOTAR.
Mm-hmm.
But when she was, there's different times when she was fighting in this book where they talk about her like hissing and snarling and these kind of like animalistic behaviors mm-hmm. that kind of do make more sense knowing that she is Fae. We find out,
yeah, okay.
We find out towards the end that her, part of what helps Kale put it together is because she said her grandmother was Fae.
Right.
And then when he's looking at the history, he finds that, you know, Aelin Galathinius's grandmother was actually like one of the big Fae.
Right.
So like one of the ancient three sisters, mm-hmm. Her grandmother was Mab. And Mab, we know as the name Deanna, Lady of the Hunt. So mm-hmm. AKA Diana, the goddess, which I thought was kind of funny because remember in our last episode, we talked about neon gods and one of the gods is Artemis / Deanna.
Yep. Yep.
Diana. So, and there was, remember there was, it was in Throne of Glass when there was like those little kids and they gave out little presents and she was given an arrow and she looked uncomfortable receiving the arrow. Yes. And that's because that's the symbol of Deanna.
And he recalls that as well.
He recalls that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it says like her steps got more graceful, her ears elongated just a little bit. Her limbs got longer. So her fae form, you know, it's still her, but there are little differences from her human form. And we'll learn more.
I would love
about
to see that come to life on like screen. You know, just like envisioning it in my head, like, wow, yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah. Sort of like what happened when we saw in ACOTAR when Feyre and her sisters became Fae. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. there was just this little transition to their bodies. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Dorian and her, kind of have this.
Both have magic.
Both have magic. Not the same kind, though, as I'm understanding, right? Because she's Fae and
doesn't seem like it.
Yeah. Mm. So interesting.
We learn, remember there's, so we remember his cousin, mm-hmm. Roland, who we met during this, and he was like, he really seemed like a creep at first, like just sort of a ladies' man kind of creep. And then we find out when he comes there, he had intentionally slept with a woman that Kale thought he loved. So he's just kind of like a jackass, right?
Yeah.
But Dorian's second cousin. And then at one point when Dorian's researching his bloodline, he does say again, so the Haveliards did have magic mm-hmm. at one point. And then we start to get little clues about him. You know, he starts wearing that black ring that the king and Parrington and Kane wore in the last book.
And that she found in that tower, right? We still don't really know much about that. When she went up to the... When she ended up in the clock tower, when she was
in the clock tower. I was thinking of Dorian's tower.
Oh, okay. And she was like, this is the same
material
that the ring is made of.
Yeah, it's like obsidian, like very black, but also has hints of green about it.
Yes.
Remember we talked about the green with the magic in the last book?
Yeah.
And even before that, how the castle kind of glows green and there's green fire.
Mm-hmm.
When she opens that portal in this book, that it's green, the word marks glow green. So it seems like there's some kind of magical tie in there. But yeah, Roland, so she thinks to herself, Selena, Aelin, recognizes that maybe that's why the king has sent Roland away with the Duke, is that he's a Haveliard. And so there might be magic in his blood. And for the same reason, since Keltaine, who we had, what do you feel about her in this book compared to the last one? Do you still hate her?
No. I feel sorry for her. Like something's clearly.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I don't.
Yeah.
Yes. I hated her at first, but now
she poisoned Selena.
Yes. Yes. But I don't think she's doing anything of her own will.
Yeah. So she's basically been in the dungeon since the end of the tournament in the last book. And then we find out at one point when Selena goes to visit her, she has like bruises around her wrists that look like handprints. And she says the Night Watch looks the other way when Parrington visits, which is awful. And
And then she also complained of headaches. And so
she did.
So did. So we don't know anything about that yet. Right.
Well, we remember at the end of the last book when we had that little reveal into the conversation between the king and the duke.
Yeah.
And the duke was trying to control Caltaine, but then her headaches were getting worse. So he like eased back on that.
Right.
So we can assume maybe that Roland's headaches are something related to that. He was having headaches more and more right before he was taken to Morath as well. But we find out that Caltaine's family line also had strong magic two generations ago. Mm-hmm. So both of the people that went to Morath with Duke Parrington, Selena figures out, both had magic in their lines.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
But yeah, she's still having the headaches and she's having these dreams or feelings.
Flapping. Like
she's the flapping, the wings. Flapping.
Yes.
And Hemia has the same thing.
Yes.
Like is thinking about the wings and the darkness and the flapping. And Caltaine says these really like ambiguous things, like something is coming and I am to greet it.
Yes.
And she's like, there's something they want from me. I'm beginning to think they brought me here for it. And essentially we find out that she's been forced to either stay in the dungeon forever or marry the Duke. And at one point when Selena realizes that like her family, she was looking at what Dorian has figured out with the bloodlines and whatever in the book. And she sees that the Rompiers used to have magic and she like takes off, runs down there because she's figured out that maybe that's why the king wants her. And she's gone already.
Yes. Yes.
That's but she says during that time that they're both imprisoned, Caltaine says to Selena, if they let you out, make sure that they're punished someday. Every last one of them.
Yes.
So we just have a sense of her being a woman that is used and abused in
this book. Yes. That's my That's my thought. I don't think she's willingly doing anything that she's done. I think
I think in the last book, she was just like a stupid flighty girl who wanted to marry a prince and was willing to do stupid things to attain it.
Right. And now
and she got sucked into a game that was way bigger than she was trying to play.
Yes. Yes. Will we see more of her? I assume.
Yes.
Okay. Mm. Hopefully she gets a. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
I'm glad we'll see more. I'm interested to see what these wings are that the flapping.
Yeah. It's interesting, right, that so Nehemia says the same thing. She's like, has her dreams are full of shadows and wings. Mm-hmm. And at one point, like, she says, she tells Selena that she has, hears the booming of wings soaring between mountain passes. And then she talks about scouts that have been sent into the Farian Gap, which is within the White Fang Mountains, if you look at the map. Those people don't never come back. Mm. And then we can sort of start to put it together. That's sort of throughout the book, right? But towards the end, it's just like at the end of the last book, Sarah J. Maas gave us like a little, one little POV section of the king.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So in the last book, it was like him talking to the Duke. And in this one, it's after Kael proposes that Selena be sent to Gwendolyn.
Yes. Yeah.
So we get this little bit, but in it, we find out from his own thoughts that he had been breeding wyverns in the Farian Gap and needs riders for them.
Wait, where's that?
It's in that very last section where we have the king's thoughts. So it's in this book. Yep, yep, yep. It's where Kael. It's like, okay, here it is. I'll find you the exact page. It is page 403 in my hardcover version. So it says, or even before that, actually, like that whole section that we have. There we go. So it's actually 401 first. It says, because in the shadows of the Farian Gap, he'd been breeding new mounts for his gathering armies, and his wyverns still needed riders.
What page is that?
401 in my hardcover version. And then on 403, right where we get the end, this is the end of his POV section. He thinks...
Oh, I see.
He'd have to send riders immediately to the Farian Gap and the Dead Islands, blah, blah, blah. So he's like readying to make war on Wendelin.
Okay. I see.
It's basically like a 2-sentence paragraph that really reveals a lot.
I see.
On page 401.
Okay.
So remember what wyverns are, or wyverns. As the audiobook narrator calls them wyverns, I'm used to saying wyverns because they're like an actual mythological beast.
Oh, okay. I feel like you talked about this before.
Yeah, so they're essentially a dragon. So the only difference between a dragon and a wyvern is that wyverns do not have back legs.
Okay.
So they're more a little bit more snake-like. And I actually have my beer of the night is...
Oh, look at you!
It's called Always Guardian empty. IPA. It's another local. BC makes some great beers. And so see this on the front of it, there's an illustration. And so it has front legs. And wings, and then just a tail.
So is that the flapping, you think?
I think there's a good hint that that's a flapping since Caltaine.
Okay. Well, this is the part where he's talking about yellow legs dying. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. So Caltaine, all we know from Caltaine is wings. But then from Nehemia, we know wings and the Farian Gap, which is a place. And then from the king... we know that he's breeding wyverns in the Farian Gap.
That's right. Okay. Because yes, she died. It frustrated him to not know why she died. Yellow legs.
Yeah. Cause he had basically, so Baba Yellow Legs, another cool character. He had called her. So the guys was, there was this like carnival for the other son's birthday. But he had specifically called her to get info on the Iron Teeth Alliance. So remember when we heard a little bit about the witches from Ansel?
Yes.
In The Assassin's Blade. So we learned that there was basically two forms of witches. There was the Crokins, who were beautiful and took after their fey ancestors. And then there were the Iron Teeth, who were more fierce and vicious, and they took after their Volg ancestors. And so there's three main tribes branches of the Iron Teeth Alliance. So the Iron Teeth witches are the ones that have these like crazy long iron nails. They have literally iron pointed teeth that can come out. They basically exterminated the Crokins 500 years
ago.
She's
like one of the top ones, right?
And she's one of the top ones. So there's the Yellow Legs group, the Blue Blood group, and the Black Beak group.
That's right.
So three of those. And she's like one of the oldest witches in the Yellow Legs group. So it probably wasn't the greatest idea for Selena to kill her because witches protect their own. And she... remember after she gets her, like she does kill her and burn her bones, whatever. Yes. So the king doesn't know who did it. But Selena has this scar like near her collarbone where the witch's nails got into her, and Mort, the enchanted door knocker.
Which reminds me of like Beauty and the Beast. Yeah.
Reminds me of Labyrinth too. The movie Labyrinth has these. Of course you didn't.
I just had someone ask me that. Why don't you watch movies?
I saw that.
Sorry.
Labyrinth is good though, because it's like Jennifer Connelly when she's super young. It's David Bowie. Mm. Like it's very cool. It's Jim Henson, like puppets, basically. Yeah. But yeah, there's these enchanted door knockers. Anyway, they very much like, and they're cheeky and stuff, just like Mort is. Mort is like, you are now marked as a witch killer. Because the scar that those left on her are not like a normal wound,
right? It's not going to go away.
Yeah, or it's going to be visible. It somehow marks her as a witch slayer.
Okay. Also, you just said something interesting. Did we know so far about the black what?
Yeah, black we beak, did. Yeah.
Blue.
Yep.
Did Ansel tell us all that? Is that
she may have, but it's also in this section with the king.
Oh. Okay. In this same little spot?
Yep. I'm not seeing it in that section, but it's definitely in this book, and that's why I wrote it down.
Okay. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I remember blue blood, right? Because don't they bleed blue? But I think
they do bleed blue.
Wasn't that, didn't we first see that? I feel like we first saw that somewhere else and not here. Am I wrong?
Possibly, but we saw it with her as well.
With who? But, yellow legs?
Yeah, yellow legs. Oh, so okay. You don't have to be, as long as you're an iron toothed, whatever, which you bleed blue blood.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to be like, there's the three groups of witches. Okay, you know, the yellow legs, the blue bloods, and the black beaks. They don't literally necessarily, you know, they all have yellow legs. Although she seems to.
She's a little.
But I think Selena thinks at one point, she's like, is she just wearing like yellow tights too? You know?
Yeah.
It's just the carnival trick
right.
of it. Right. But yeah, it's some, okay, I can't say the page. I'll have to go back for it. But okay. It's definitely in this book somewhere that we learn that there's three kinds. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
And Ansel may have mentioned it as well. She definitely talked about the Iron Teeth versus the Krokins.
Yes, that I knew, but you said Blackbeak, and I don't recall reading Blackbeak.
And okay, it's definitely in this book somewhere.
I know of another character that you had mentioned, and now I'm like, oh.
Okay, but don't think about that yet. That hasn't happened. No, I have to search my Kindle version.
Well, that's
but Blackbeak is in here somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Anyway, okay, so this part is very interesting. Oh, yeah, man, I should pay more attention to this king's POV.
That I swear the king, like, lets out, like, five things in there. There's another thing he says, which if you didn't catch it, I'm not going to bring it up because I know why he says it. But I've marked it and we'll come back to it if you don't know. If you don't know, that's okay. You don't have to search.
Hmm.
It's another foreshadowing hint forward thing that is mentioned earlier in the book, but we're just gonna.
Okay.
I don't want to point it out because I don't think I noticed it the first time I read this. It's only because of what happens later that on reread, I'm like, oh, that's the first time that's said.
Okay.
You know?
Sure. I'm just reading. Okay.
To like reread as we're talking.
I know, sorry.
No, that's okay.
There's just dead air as I'm like, what's going on? Okay. Anyway. Oh, sneaky king.
Yellow legs is pretty fearsome though, hey?
Yeah, that was an interesting scene. Also, I was just picturing being in a fun house and with this scary looking woman.
Where she's like hiding behind the mirrors and
Yeah.
I would like to know more about those mirrors because one of the things that the king says is that he brought her there to question her, but also to buy a couple of her mirrors.
Yeah.
Like, what can they do? They must be special. Like, what? He doesn't just want a mirror. And all we know from when Selena was in there is that, A, the interior of that caravan, like, looks a lot bigger than it does from the outside.
Right.
And then also, like, as she passes mirrors, it just seems funhousey because she's, like, in some she's tall and thin, in some she's short and wide, but in some she walks sideways.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, like, they are distorting somehow. Yeah, so. It does seem there's, like, more power to them than we know.
Yeah, that was a crazy scene.
And we get a few flashbacks, stuff to do with Baba Yellow Legs that was callbacks to Ansel from Assassin's Blade, including Selena a couple times mentions the story that Ansel told her about her sister's friend.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, who went missing and then they found her like her bones picked clean.
Yes. Yes, I do remember that.
So Selena is like aware of what the witches are. She doesn't have any previous experience with witches. Like she heard about them from Ansel. And also, thank goodness, she did have that experience with Ansel because that's how she learned that you have to decapitate a witch.
Yes. Right.
To kill them, which is what she ends up doing to her.
Yes. Ugh. I guess.
But she's gross. She like talks about eating what the Krogans taste like. Mm-hmm. And like how, you know, when she's talking to Dorian about how he's asking about how one person could possibly have magic. She says that, you know, she's been all over Aurelia and nobody has magic. Even like the Fae that are left there, they're trapped in their animal forms. And like, and she's like, and they taste like them too.
Right. Ew. That's right. But yeah, Dorian went to her to find out, right?
About his magic.
Yes.
That's when he had had the inklings that he, I don't remember at what point it was. He for sure had done the hit the wall thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if he'd done the books in the library thing yet, but he just, you know.
But then she figured almost to protect him, right? Dorian?
That was a side effect because when she went there to talk to her, then she offered, she's like, okay, well, this much money to tell, you your fortune, but like this much money, and I'll tell you what he asked me to.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's part of why she ends up killing her, is she's like, I can't let all this get out.
Right.
Like, she's protecting Dorian without even knowing what he asked.
That's right.
Okay. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. That whole scene was really good, but I'm glad I suspect we're going to see more of these witches. So, you know.
I mean, you just might see more of the witches.
Mm, I'm thinking we are.
I can't keep that in. Of course, we're going to see more of the witches. I love the witches. You do wait till we get to the witches.
Ooh, okay, okay.
I do.
All right. Is that how far away is that?
I mean, not Baba Yellowlegs so much, right. There are certain witches that I like. You're getting close.
Oh, okay. All right. Don't have to wait too long. Let's see. Who else did we?
You don't have to wait too long.
Oh, good. We have not really talked about Archer. Right? I'm looking through your notes.
Yeah.
We basically kind of like touched on, you know, for the most part, the main things that we have not talked about, that bastard Archer.
Yeah. And it's like, you got your, that's good. Your senses got tweaked right from the beginning with him.
Yeah.
Like, all we find out at the beginning is he's like the first name that the king gives to her. Like, in the beginning, we find out, of course, that she's not actually killing the people that he's sending her to kill, but helping them escape. Yes. And then the next name he gives her is Archer Finn. And she knows this name because she's known him since she was like 13, because he came to train at the Assassin's Keep as well. Mm-hmm. Because he was in training to be a courtesan. And, you know, just because people get passionate, it's a good skill for him to have them. Self-defense, or I think it's even said once that like it could be his clients or his clients' husbands,
right?
That get violent with him.
That might have been, so I don't know what it was, but something. Yeah, I was just like, oh, okay, you're just, I'm a very good judge of character, so like I always trust my intuition. Well,
you tweaked correctly.
He gave me bad vibes.
And you know, it is like a little bit similar. I think we had a little hint of this with Lysandra in Assassin's Blade, but then we get it more with Archer, and how he says to her, our professions have always been similar, yours and mine. I can't tell which is worse, training us for the bedroom or the battlefield. Because all three characters that we've met so far, well, four, Sam, Selena, Lysandra, and Archer. So either assassins or courtesans, they are like trained from childhood.
Yeah.
You know, like as we talked about with Lysandra and her training until she was 17 and then her virginity could be, you know, bid on. So gross. Same with Archer, right? Yeah. Like it was same thing. So he trained till he was 17 and it's just awful. Like they're being trained for their beauty and their bodies in one way or another. Right. So it makes you upset for him and you feel bad for him. Mm-hmm. But then the direction, even that he's taken it is fine. It's just that he goes too far. Mm-hmm. Like he was working with Nehemia for years to like, you know, rebel against the king. But he just takes it too far when he finds out about like the power of these word keys and wanting to like yield it themselves.
Yeah.
As opposed to destroy it, which is what Nehemia wanted. And so he kind of gets corrupted by
greedy,
that.
I feel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like working with her and then got greedy and then, you know, which I mean, we should all know that that's what happens at this point. I feel like, you know.
Right.
But
with fictional men, especially, it seems.
I know.
The interesting part of Archer is like, I was like, you know, when he kidnaps Kale. Mm-hmm. And they leave like this note for Selena saying like, come alone or we're going to kill him. Hello. She's like an assassin.
I know.
And you beat him up without even like questioning him or anything. So she goes there to like, you were so stupid to think she's not going to scope out the situation. So she gets there. She sees him tied up and beaten. She busts in there like swords blazing, you know, because she's like, these dudes have like my lover and you know, and then they all try and stop her. He takes an arrow for her, which I thought was so appropriate since his name is Archer.
Yeah, I know. I thought that too. I was like, oh, God.
But he's like, but he's like, this is a misunderstanding. I was like, misunderstanding? I mean, you guys said like you're going to kill this guy.
Right.
And so it made so much more sense after we found out that he really was the bad guy and he intentionally called her there to get her away from the castle.
Yes. Yeah.
But the dudes he was working with, I was like, what did they think? They thought that was a good plan? Like, right. She killed like 15 of them.
I know. Like, oh, let's tell this assassin the brewery, yeah, the best
that we're
going to
kill her boyfriend.
We're going to kill her boyfriend and see what happens. I know. Like,
yeah.
What's wrong with you?
I was like, you guys are so stupid.
So stupid. So stupid. Oh, but
yeah.
Yes. Then
it
of
didn't
course,
make any sense. So, yeah. Then no. When his bad side is revealed, it made more sense. But I was like, still, like, in the end, when he comes upon her, when she opens the portal to see Nehemia again, and then he's like, how did you do it? And let's do this. And she tricks him into like revealing that he was actually the one who had Nehemia killed, all of that. But then he starts like, do you remember as Kael and Dorian comes in, he's like frantically reading from the book. And like, yes, what is he trying to do there? Is he trying to close the portal, or what is he trying to do? We don't know, because at some point he just like panics and runs with the book.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I felt
and
like
I was like,
probably trying to close it, but I guess it doesn't.
That's what I thought too. But then he like takes off, and I'm like, dude, if you're leaving a portal open to another world, like that's, you're not going to go far for long.
Right. Right.
And indeed she catches up to him, of course, and kills him. But I was like, how is he faster than her? Wait, at first, like when she tries to stab him and he like whirls and then he like takes off, and like Dorian's like, I can't run that fast. I'm like, what? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Why can't you run faster than this dude?
But I also, I love how she kind of, she tricks him, right? Like she basically says like, she's not, I got to find it. I loved it because I was like, oh, she's not going to kill him. She's going to let him go. Like she did Ansel. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden,
she like plays and pretends that like, oh, you were right all along. And if I had known this about Nehemia, I would have been on your side. And why didn't you trust me? And we could have figured out the riddle together. And she does like her little flirty eyes with
him,
that's because
right.
They had
he's like, I knew you
they
were.
They sort of had this. That's how, that's his downfall, that line.
Yeah.
Because she was going to let him go. Uh-huh. And then he says that, and she looks at him and sees like, basically he thinks he got one over on her.
Yes.
And she's like, you know what? I'm not a good woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
A, because I'm not a woman. I'm a female.
Right. 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 Yes.
But also she's like, but Nehemia was.
Yes. You know, just like.
And at that
gets him.
I hate when people who are like we have a sense that the big bad guy here is the king, right? Mm-hmm. So why are these people who are both like against the king fighting each other? It's such a waste.
I know. It is a waste. I know. I know. But isn't that just like our world in general? It was just always at odds. Ugh. But I loved this. Yeah. I did. I loved this little part. She's just like,
It made me so sad though. Where she was like playing along, I was like, he's pretty easy to fool.
Oh, very much so. But I think also, you know, I think a lot of men underestimate her naturally.
Yes.
You know? And it's like, 100%. No, she's literally the best of the best. Like, you're not going to win.
And even in that, And even in that conversation, she's like, oh, so Grave didn't recognize you when you were dressed as, and he's like, you know, you'd be surprised what men will believe what they want to believe. I'm like,
Yeah.
Like you right now.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I love that. I love that he's gone. He's gone. Yeah. Goodbye.
He's gone. He deserves it. He could have been a good guy, but no.
The greed got him. I'm telling you. It's always what happens in these kind of stories, you know? That's what I mean.
It does. Always,
that's the drama, you know? That's what makes it. So I was going to say, it just sounds so much like Game of Thrones. You know what I mean? Like all these things. That's what I mean. Where they're all like fighting. You know, they have the same mission, but then, you know, they end up going against each other, and it's
fighting
just
each other. I'm like,
right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's just like the way of the world.
What is the show? My husband and I were just watching a show, and oh my gosh, I'm just going to be thinking about this for a while. And I was, it was the new Wakanda movie, the second Black Panther movie. So there's a plot line in there when it's like the big bad guy in the second movie. I was like, why are you? I want to like you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You should be a good guy, but what you're doing in this, it's like this. It's like, why are you fighting? Why is a guy that's supposed to be a good guy fighting another good guy?
Greed.
Like, it doesn't make sense to me.
I know.
Yeah. Greed. And so anyway,
I have heard they're good, but I'm not one for the whole. I haven't seen any of those movies. Like, none.
You should just watch, like, Because, you know, it's a big investment if you're going to get into the whole universe and watch all the movies. Yeah. But I would say, just knowing you, I would watch Captain Marvel, because it's like, it takes place in the 90s. So there's like wicked music and style and stuff. And so it's a, and it's girl hero. And you know, it's not the very first, chronologically even, but when you put them all in order as to like, not when they were made, but when they like take place, it's one of the first ones. Okay. And if you like that and like the style of it, then you can go further.
I see. I probably won't.
I feel like, but that's just a fun one, because it's very like girl power and whatever. Cool. Same with Black Widow. Like, I would watch one of those too.
I heard that was good too.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of drama, let's talk about that figure in the library. So remember, there's like Selena first sees him by the door of the library, and it like moves like smoke and shadow, makes like animal like noises. And then we get sort of more and more until she actually gets face to face with it. So it's like in these catacombs, and it turns out it can like get itself in and out, because it's been like wandering around. The librarian mentioned seeing someone like multiple times. It hasn't hurt or killed anybody. But as soon as it sees Selena, it like, we sort of, I think it even thinks to itself, it's forgotten its name and what it used to be.
Okay.
And that it had a process of being repeatedly like broken, shattered, and brutally rebuilt. And so it sees Selena use the word marks to open all those iron doors. And it thinks, okay, well, she knows how to do that. She must be one of the people that knows about what was done down here. One of the people that's responsible for what was done to me.
Yeah.
And that's why it attacks her.
Didn't she say somewhere it had a human heart?
Yes. So when she kills it, when they're fighting it first, she sees that it like it face wise, it looks like it used to be human. It sort of like walks like a man. And then, when she kills it, it has a human heart. So she and Dorian kill it. But then she believes that the king created it. And we even get a thought by the creature itself. He thinks to himself, he, like in quotation marks, like a big he, left him there and took all his other things with him. So his attention was diverted elsewhere, and he took all of his other things with him. And we find out there's like 200 cells down there. So it's like a lot of places to kill or to keep somebody. And they lead. It's like this crazy like spiral going downwards. That then leads to a spiral going upwards that leads into that obsidian clock tower. But Selena's like, we know that the king built this clock tower. Therefore, he must have known what was underneath there. Didn't that remind you? It reminded me that big spiral going down into the earth. It reminded me of the library in ACOTAR.
Yes, it did. It did remind me of that.
And with the creature at the bottom.
Yeah, with the creature at the bottom. Yeah, very, very similar. Do we ever find out what that creature is?
I don't think specifically.
Okay.
Not that I can remember, and I could be wrong, but we do know about in general.
Okay. Okay.
Things that are being made.
Yeah, because that's the sealing of the door part, right? And so isn't that when Dorian is trying to seal the door, and then it kind of has to like come through on the other side of whatever? And I envisioned it kind of like freezing in the moment.
Yeah.
And that's when she had to kill it. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Cause the book, she's like, they're both trying to like close the door, but the hand is out and it's in her shoulder. And so then even when Dorian like uses her sword to chop off the arm, it's still like embedded in her shoulder she has to pull it out. Like, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. That was a really cool scene to read too, but, but yeah,
it made me wonder though, like, is that definitely the only thing left down there? Like,
I don't know. There was quite a few cells.
You know, a lot of cells.
Geez.
And it says it's been eating like rats and stuff. So I would think if there was another one left down there, it might have found it. But I don't know. Anyway, it seemed like a weird that there would be one left behind, you know?
Right. Just one. And why just one?
And why left at all?
Right.
Was it a fail? Like experiment fail? I don't know.
Maybe. Might have been.
Yeah. So Mort, the enchanted door knocker, is like super frustrating because he knows a lot of stuff.
He does. He does.
But you have to like ask the right question or whatever. And then once you do, he'll like just gives it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like when she figures out that the Times Rift is an anagram. And then she's like, what does it mean? He's like, I am the first. Like, okay, well, she had to take that first step before he could like tell her the next step.
Yes.
It's like, dude, you are so frustrating. Yes. And I think she thinks that once, like, if he wasn't made of bronze.
I know. Oh, man. I love it. Yeah, he reminds me of like a Beauty and the Beast thing.
Yeah, totally. He's a little bit of comic relief. Mm-hmm. But he's the one who says that the king found the first word key when he was like 20.
Right. Right.
So like a long time ago.
Right.
And he guesses, he doesn't know for sure that the king has more than one, mm-hmm. but he thinks that the king used that word key to stifle all magic except his own. And therefore Dorian's is the guess because it's his son. So it would be like his bloodline.
Right.
And Mort thinks it would have taken two keys to be able to do something so powerful as that, but he doesn't know for sure.
Right.
So at the end of the book, we really don't know whether the king has more than one. We just know that he does have or did have one for sure.
That's a long time to only have one, maybe two.
Yeah, we don't know. And like we know magic disappeared 10 years ago, but Dorian is like 20. Ish, a little less.
Than 20. I mean, if he found it when he was 20,
and he was 20, so he must be near 40.
I'm just thinking that's probably a lot. Like,
because he couldn't have. I mean, I doubt he was probably the same age as Dorian, ish, when he had Dorian.
Right, and he's probably, I'm assuming, looking for the third. Like that's what I'm saying.
We would certainly assume, yeah, because we find out all the power that. Right, and we know that like what those things can do apparently when they're all together is open a word gate. Which can essentially open doors into another world. I think it's Baba Yellowlegs who tells Selena that like worlds are stacked on top of each other. And she's the one who kind of explains to her like the word keys and make the word gate. And the word is like the power that holds everything together and kind of lays it all out for her. But yeah, like if you have all three, so they think the king doesn't have all three only because he would have done worse than he has done by now if he did.
So then when you say the word key to the word gate to the, you know, another world, but that world is different than the portal that opened with the word marks.
Know what you're saying. We don't know yet.
Okay. Got it. This is where it's like, whew, it gets to be like so much info. And I'm like,
I know.
I like keep it all straight. Luckily, I have you. But
yeah, it's like all
like you know,
it's like, all sort of like page 300. It's like with Selena's meeting with Yellowlegs before they start to fight is like 307 to 311 in the hardcover, and that's where she just really like lays a lot of that out. Like you know, long ago before humans overran this miserable world, a different sort of evil broke through the gates, the Vog. Demons from another realm, bent on the conquest of Aurelia and with the force of an endless army behind them. In Wendlin, they fought against the Fae. Try as the immortal children might, they could not defeat them. Then the Fae learned that the Valk had done something unforgivable. They had taken a piece of a word gate with their dark magic and split it into three slivers, three keys, one key for each of their kings. Using all three at once, the Vog kings were able to open that word gate at will, manipulate its power to strengthen their forces, to allow an endless line of soldiers to pour into the world. The Fae knew that they must stop it. And he says that the Fae set out to do that, and they didn't like stop them, but they did get those word keys back. And that one of the original Fae sisters, like a sister to Mab, who we now know is Aelin's grandmother, Maeve, banished the Vog. And that she sent those three keys across the sea with Brannin, who is Elena's father and the first king of Terrasen. And then he was going to hide them on that continent.
Right. Okay.
So that the word gate would be protected and its power unused.
Right.
These are important facts going forward.
Okay. Just might need a little refresher.
Yep. You will get refreshers all the way along.
Okay, good.
But that's sort of really laying like a lot of like larger sense world building.
So here's my question. Crown of Midnight, where is that title coming from?
That's a very good question. As far as I recall, there's only two times we see a crown in this book. So one of them is that Selena's wearing a very thin silver circlet to hold on her black veil when she goes to cry and sing at Nehemia's grave. Then we're also told that when, like, around, I think maybe even the first time we see Baba Yellowlegs, she is wearing a crown of stars.
Selena or Baba Yellow?
Baba.
Okay.
Yeah. So those are the, I think, the only times we specifically get that. Mm-hmm. So I think,
like, I got throne of glass, you know.
Yeah. There is literally is a throne of glass.
Yeah. Exactly. That one wasn't so hard. But I'm like, crown of midnight.
It sounds like it should be like Reese's crown.
I know.
Which is what I thought of when, like, they saw Baba Yellowlegs and she's wearing that crown of stars. I'm like, that's like what Feyre wears, isn't
mm-hmm,
it?
Mm-hmm,
crown of stars.
Massive crossover. Well, unintentional. Well, yeah, you know.
Yeah. There are some crossovers. So again, it's like, if you look at the colors of my tabs, the orange ones
mm-hmm.
are like larger Sarah J. Maas universe crossovers.
Okay. Yeah.
So there are some, definitely. Yeah, I if there's a better interpretation of Crown of Midnight, I don't know it offhand. So
maybe there is. Maybe one of our listeners.
Somebody can tell us.
Yeah.
Overall, but yeah, those are the only times we see the crown.
Okay. Overall, this, like I said, I mean, the part two just amped right up after Nehemia died. It was very good. Very good ending. And everyone is like, oh, you're onto the best book. My friend is like, I'm just waiting for you to read Air of Fire. I'm like, okay, I'm getting there. So I'm there.
There are some good things that are going to happen now.
Everywhere.
And I just love, it's like we hit this turning point, right? So the first three books, we have Selena and we know she has this mysterious past, but we don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. So now we have a lot more idea of what that is. We don't have every particular, but we know she should be, and she knows this, like she's not amnesiac or anything.
Right. She knew this all along. Yeah,
she did. Just,
which, I mean, I feel a little duped. Like, we didn't know. We're in her head and we didn't know. You know?
No, but she thinks about it sometimes. She's like, she can't even, like, think of these names. Or even, like, when she thinks of her dad, she has tried so hard not to think of her dad that sometimes she forgets their names and faces. Like, that kind of stuff. So she's just intentionally not trying to put herself there. Cause she was just a little girl.
I know. Eight. Yeah.
And she actively, through most of this book, doesn't want to, like, feels like it's hopeless. Like, even when Nehemia is like, we gotta, you know, rise against the king and you're a coward and all this stuff, that she's like, you know, you're just stupid if you think you can. Like, he has, like, this, the rulers of Terrasen were said to be, like, this amazing court that, like, you know, there was loyalty not due to fear, it was due to respect, and they were well educated and they were all these things, but they never tried to, like, encroach on other people's territories or anything. They were peaceful, but they were powerful. Mm-hmm. And yet the king, like, conquered them so easily. And she's like, it's 10 years later, he's more powerful, he has, like, a whole continent behind him. Like, how could you ever think that we could defeat him? And she doesn't even want to go there because of her losses in the past. She doesn't want that to happen again. So you can sort of see how she, even though she knows her own past, she has tried to put it behind her, thinking that there's no going back or fixing that. And she's really only now at, like, the age of majority. Like, she's 18.
Yeah.
She's had this crazy last 10 years. She had traumatic end to her childhood. She's had this crazy last 10 years. And now she's at this dramatic turning point, which even, you know, there, do you remember that chapter where it doesn't use any names, but it's the princess and the queen talking to each other?
No.
It's very short, and it only talks about, like, a princess and a queen, and it's chapter 25. It's, like, exclusively that. So, like, page 207.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, like, the queen said, the princess said.
Oh, I see.
The way it starts is, one of them has to break, the queen said to the princess. Only then can it begin. I know, the princess said softly, but the prince isn't ready. It has to be her. Then do you understand what I'm asking of you? Yes. Then do what needs to be done. She won't understand. And when she goes over the edge, there will be nothing to pull her back. She will find her way back. She always does. For all our sakes, I hope you're right.
So do we know who that is?
Well, I think we can guess that the only queen we know is Elena.
Okay.
And the only princess we know is Nehemia.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So if we do know that Even though it's sort of like Selena thinks she's telling Nehemia about the tomb and Elena and all that for the first time, she actually already knew about it.
She'd been they're already in the going tomb, down there. So yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it feels like, I mean, she says the prince isn't ready, so it must be her. Mm-hmm. So it feels like it's Nehemia and Elena talking about Dorian and Selena.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And knowing that they're the two who have like this unlocked potential for
right,
power
that makes sense.
At that point.
Yeah.
And then even Nehemia at the end, when, you know, Selena summons her, she says, like, she's basically mad at her. She's like, I thought you were smarter than this. You can't. Mm-hmm. No one has the right to open the door to the other world.
Yeah.
But she does say, like, Alentia, you know, I knew what my fate was, basically. So she was willingly mm-hmm. sacrificing herself because it was going to provide some kind of like turning point, some oomph. It was going to set things in motion, which it certainly did.
It certainly did. Do you think Nehemia knew that Selena was Aelin?
Yes.
Okay.
I do think that.
Okay.
I don't think Archer knew. I think Archer knew. Yeah. Well, actually, I think Archer partially knew. Like, I think he says, you know, that Arabin told him at one point who she was. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he knew that she was Fae or had magic. Okay. I think he just knew that she was, you know, a child of the nobility of Terrasen. Maybe knew that she was the princess of Terrasen. But yeah.
Yeah. Now,
but I don't think he knew all that.
Also, at the very end, when the king summons her, right, to tell mm-hmm. her that she's going to
Wendlin.
Okay.
It's okay.
Yeah. When they're like, this is what Kale has suggested. And it says she gets this smile on her face. Do you remember that part?
That Selena does?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So that was like kind of creepy, right? Because wasn't it from Kale's perspective? Oh, the assassin looked at him for a long moment. The king noticed that his son had gone very, very still. So it was the king's viewpoint. Then she smiled a cruel, twisted thing. It would be an honor to serve the crown in such a way.
Yeah.
Do you? Okay. So you think that's her realizing like, yeah, you're sending me back. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think that's her acting for the king.
Oh, okay.
Like, oh, I'd be pleased to do this for you. I'd be pleased to kill the royalty of Wendland.
But knowing where she's going, and that's like basically
she knows where she's going. But then after that, we get hers, and she's like, what was Kale thinking? And he doesn't know that, like, I can't actually do this. And I can't, she feels like Kale's sending me there to protect me, and then I can disappear, mm-hmm. but like, I can't because then he'll be at risk. Mm-hmm. So, how am I supposed to pull this off? And she even thinks, like, the people she's killed so far. For the king, which is only like, well, five that he assigned mm-hmm. her to kill. And then she killed a bunch of extras. She's like, I was able to fake their corpses.
Oh, that's
but like,
right,
I can't with these two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was just an acting, okay. like a mask
okay.
for the king. And we obviously know that he believes it because right. we're in his POV there.
Right.
But yeah, I think she's more freaked out and figuring out like, what is she going to do? Mm-hmm. When she gets there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which we are going to have to wait and see.
We're going to have to wait and see. I'm going to start. We both have busy weeks. So
we do.
Reading another book that we're going to chat about, right?
Uh-huh.
We're going to chat that yep. one here.
A non-Throne of Glass novel.
A non-Throne of Glass novel. So I'm finishing that one up and then we'll record that first.
Yeah.
So after that, I'll start Air of Fire.
Air of Fire. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, yep, yep. Text mm-hmm. me as you go so I can see what you're discovering.
I know I have a busy week, so I don't know how much reading I'm going to be able to do because I think
that's okay. We've got time. It'll be there when you're ready. Yes. You know, one thing we didn't talk about, and I just want to acknowledge, is the mm-hmm. callbacks to Sam mm-hmm. in this book. I mm-hmm. still, it still makes me so sad every time, but there was like that one part where.
What did he say? Who was it? Was it Archer?
No, that's not what I'm thinking of anyway. Oh, yes, Archer did say something terrible. Rook Farron was one of his clients, and he's like, yes. It was like one of his most enjoyable killings was killing Sam, and that makes her like see red.
Yeah.
Of course.
I'm glad he's dead.
But like, why did you say that? yeah, another sort of reveal at his true character there. But
yes,
no, it's, I'm thinking of when she first tells Kale about Sam, and then Kale asks, like, did Sam love you? And mm-hmm. Selena thinks, yes, more than anyone had ever loved her. He'd loved her enough to risk everything, to give up everything. He'd loved her so much that she still felt the echoes of it even now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's still around with her. And I, you know, she thinks of him several times throughout this. And I can't imagine not, I just, you wouldn't love him had you not read Assassin's Blade before this, because you wouldn't know him.
I've had a few people tell me in DMs that they went back and read Assassin's Blade after having read Throne of Glass, and that they're mad that they didn't read it first.
Right.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I really am glad that I did that, because again, I just don't think that you get the full, you know, now every time, yes, every time that she talks about Sam, I'm just like, Sam, you know, like, because
right, so, because you know him.
right. And so, yeah, so hard.
Yeah. I've never heard of anyone being sad that they did start with the Assassin's Blade. Mm-hmm. I've had one or two people say it's harder to get into because it's like a series of connected short stories. Yeah. I get that. So I've said, like, you know, if that's the case for you, read Throne of Glass, then go back to it. But other than that, yeah, I still entirely recommend reading Assassin's Blade first.
Yeah.
But I love, there's lots of little moments. So in this one, we got bits of Sam, we got bits of Ansel. Mm-hmm. So callbacks to that book, and those are going to keep coming.
Interesting. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I am on to the next.
On to the next. Oh, you know what? Do we want to reveal our little, our wonderful collaboration that we're doing?
Oh, yeah. Along with you can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you can't see me, but I'm actually wearing a really cool hoodie right now, an ACOTAR themed hoodie. Mm-hmm. And we have partnered up with Caffeine and Curses.
Mm-hmm.
We will link them in our notes. We'll put them in our stories. A lovely mom named Tracy heads that up, and she has officially licensed Sarah J. Maas merch. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. So she has other stuff too, but for Sarah J. Maas, there's ACOTAR merch, there's Throne of Glass merch, and there's Crescent City merch. Mm-hmm. I now own 6 pieces from her, and I love them all. I'll post some pictures in our stories after this episode releases so you can see them. But she has offered us a 10% discount for our listeners, which is pretty awesome. So you can use the code LIT10 with no minimum, and she's worldwide. So she's actually based in Australia, but she has different production locations so that A, you don't have to pay crazy amounts for shipping.
Oh, that's
and B,
awesome.
The timing is a lot shorter. So I think I got my order, like, I'm on the West Coast of Canada, and she has one of the places she works with is in Ontario in Canada. So I only waited a couple days for
that's
my
amazing.
Stuff. And yeah, it's really good. So, like, no matter where you are in the world, she has a UK store, she has a website and an Etsy. So wherever you are, you can get your stuff with it, like, cheap shipping and a good amount of time. And it's so cool.
I know. So I have a cart. I'm going to go in and purchase now. I have a cart already there. I definitely want, there's like my favorite one is Feyre's tattoo sweatshirt with her beautiful tattoo down the back. So now you can also be like Feyre.
Yes,
with a sweatshirt.
Yes.
So
like the phases of the moon down her spine.
I should ask really what, cool. Do you think I should get my normal size or like size up?
So I actually found that sizing was really accurate
Perfect.
For me. Okay. And so like I'm wearing a hoodie right now and I actually ordered this a size up because I wanted it baggy and it's perfectly exactly how I wanted it.
Okay. So then maybe I'll
and
get
the t-shirts that I've gotten are super soft and nice. Like I got, I can't tell you too much about what I got. Well, I can, but then you won't understand it because it's we haven't got to that point in the series yet. But we did talk about Men on Black Beak. I did get one of her. She has some stuff that sort of looks like concert tees,
mm-hmm.
that kind of style.
I love the Surreal Truth Tour.
I have that one.
Harvard. So good.
Yeah.
I know. I'm trying to decide. I have a cart filled. I'm like,
I'm wearing the Bone Carver hoodie right now. I have the Surreal t-shirt and a few more that I'll give you some pictures of. Mm-hmm. They have stuff with the Bat Boys. They have, you know, there's like the One is like a music festival in Velaris. One is like a music festival in the Throne of Glass universe. Like, they just look really cool. I like that stuff that's super subtle fandom.
Yeah. Yeah. So right now, I think I love the Velaris and Prithian, right? It almost looks like a college sweatshirt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's some of those collegiate ones. Yeah.
Yeah. I really like that. But yes, I love the, and I'm assuming, I know it's kind of hard because I'm assuming some of these are going to come up. So I might stick with the ones I know for now, and then I'll probably make a second purchase.
Yeah. Once I'd rather you know the significance of some of the characters and stuff later. Yeah. Yeah. It's great stuff. So we're really thankful to Tracy for doing that partnership with us to give our listeners a little deal. And we'll post
Instagram's
all that.
Instagram's also
for you.
Really fun too.
It is.
Yeah. It's
some
really
great reels on there.
Yes. Yeah.
And TikToks, if you do TikTok more than Instagram, like you can find her in both places.
She even has mugs. I like this bone carver. Oh, I see your bone carver sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. Notebooks.
Really cool. And then there's a book. Mugs. Do you see the mug that has like all the Sarah J. Maas books on it?
Oh,
like,
I
all
did.
The spines of the books all the way around. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. 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 I did. And I wanted that one in particular because I love. Mm-hmm. I mean, we haven't read Crescent City yet, but we're going to.
No, and I do have one piece of Crescent City merch already, so I'll share that when we get there.
You do?
I do. Yes, I do.
Even here's
the one. Because I know enough about it. You know, I did start reading the first book. Remember that?
Oh.
Like, and then I was like, I'm going to wait until, because I was like, I knew Crescent City 2 was coming out. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to try and wait. And so I stopped, but I did get partway through the first book. Like, it was the beginning of the book where it's all like, it's very world buildy.
They're big.
I got through the first like significant event before I stopped, and then I've seen enough of my share of TikToks on the subject to know a lot, and I've read the end of book 2, so I know what everybody's talking about there.
I know what everyone's I know how terrible. I'm like, I don't care. I'm just gonna read what happens. Because everyone's like, you have to, so you can know the end. And I'm like, all right, well, or I could just open it up to the end and see.
Okay. I see what you're talking about. Now I can wait and get the story. So I still think we're reading these in the best order. I think that ACOTAR is like a very good intro to the world. Mm-hmm. I think that Throne of Glass is the only potentially, hopefully, probably fully complete series. Mm-hmm. So that's a great one to read now. And then Crescent City is the first, like the next one that's expected to get a new edition. So by the time we're done Throne of Glass, we should be close to Crescent City 3 coming out. So we can just read straight through those.
Yes. Yes. And I just put the code in and it works. So lit 10, 10%
lit
off.
10.
I think we're going to have to just, I'm going to wear these every time we record. share over on our Instagram.
Stories?
Yeah.
We'll share it in show notes. And then we will, when we post this episode, you can tell us if you got anything.
Mm-hmm.
What you got? I'm
just
curious.
I can't wait to hear. I got a lot of.
We have like team shirts.
I know. I just got Bone Carver, the Velaris, the Pharaoh's tattoo, and I got my Sarah J. Maas mug.
There you go. That's a great start.
There you go. All right. And then I'll add to it as we go through Throne of Glass.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
Okay. I think that sums up Crown of Midnight.
Yep.
Again, we're going through the entire series. So we're going to do Heir of Fire next. So you can always leave us a message on SpeakPipe with any thoughts that you have on that. And then we'll include it in the show. We will also put that up on Instagram as well in our stories. Mm-hmm. You guys know where to follow us over there. And we thank you for reviewing and subscribing to this podcast. And we're super excited to continue this series. So, and then after this, yes, we'll do Crescent City, but we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 books to go. So
we do so much stories left to happen.
So much. All right, cool. We will
All right.
See you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.